And I think it's working. Is it working? All right, cool. Well, thanks everyone for coming in and doing this with me tonight. This is the second time I've ever done this. The very first time I ever preached was almost exactly a year ago. And what I preached on that night was actually how wonderful I think it is that I got to do that. How wonderful that God lets us share His message when He's perfectly capable of doing, frankly, a much better job all by Himself. And so tonight, I'm standing here thinking, man, I just wish He'd do it Himself. Because holy cow, there's a big difference between the first time you do this and the second time. Now, the first time anyone ever tells you you get to do something like this, you drive home and you're so excited about it, and by the time you've gotten home, you already know everything you're going to say. Well, really, how could you not? Because everyone has that one message where they just, that speaks to them so much, that gets them so close to God, the message that's just kind of exploding out of them that they need to share with the world. So what I did is I went home, I barely researched a thing, and I got up here and I talked for 20 minutes without hardly taking a breath, right? Now, the second time you give a sermon, it starts out in very much the same way. You go home and you're so excited about it. And when you're driving home, you realize that you spent every waking moment of your Christian life thinking about what you would say that very first time you gave a sermon. Well, it's kind of a lonely feeling not having a topic. I tell you what, it was particularly lonely for me. If you've never done this before, I really suggest that you try it. Because it makes you realize how little you really know about God. And then in my case, it made me realize how much I'm relying on this very little bit that I know about God to get me by. For a second. See, God picked a really inconvenient time to let me know that I had totally abandoned my relationship with Him in favor of theology and things, in favor of things that I do for Him. I had abandoned Him for knowing about Him. And so it was quite inconvenient for me and very frustrating for me to not have a topic. But, you know, He kind of let me know about that abandoned relationship in some kind of funny ways, so I thought I'd tell you guys about those. As I was sitting there in front of this empty notebook, pondering what I was going to talk about tonight, I was getting really frustrated. I was getting so frustrated because it's usually something that I'm very passionate about, is getting to speak to people. But that night I just couldn't figure it out. Now, at the time I didn't realize it was because I didn't have this relationship with Christ, but at the time, I just thought I was being stupid or something. And so I was looking at this notebook, and I couldn't think of anything, and it was driving me crazy. And I was on the brink of calling Steve and saying, look, Steve, I don't know what's the matter with me, but I just can't come up with anything. And as I was sitting there so frustrated, so dejected, because I couldn't put anything on that paper, it hit me. I thought, I know. And I walked over to my bookshelf, and I picked up the one book in the whole world that I knew would have the answer. Now, this is a book that, since I've become a Christian, I've spent hours and hours with. This is a book that's given me so much insight into God. And as I sat there and I pored over these pages that I've pored over 10 times before, reading every word again, reading the note that I'd written next to him, I kind of shook my head when I realized that a dispensational theology textbook by Charles F. Baker was not going to inspire me in the way that I needed to write this sermon. See, I didn't realize at the time, but I was doing it again. I was relying on this theology to get me by. I was building up all this kind of like mental strength for God, thinking that could suffice for my relationship with God. And And I wasn't looking in the right place for my answers. But it didn't occur to me at the time. In fact, what occurred to me at the time was that I should go look at my notebook a bunch more and think of something to say. So I went and looked at my blank notebook, jotted down some answers, or jotted down some sermon topics, but nothing was really striking me. And it was really wearing down on me. And it got to be about, I'd say it was about 12 or 12:30 at night, and I had to shut my notebook because it just wasn't coming to me. And as I was walking to bed, I realized that I hadn't done something that I do every night right before I'm going to go to bed. I realized I hadn't prayed yet. And so I wasn't going to skip that part of my routine, but I did. I got down on my knees, and I said, "Look, God, I have spent all night trying to come up with something for this sermon, and it's not happening. I don't know what you want me to say about you, and I'm so tired of this. I'm just so frustrated, and I just don't have time to pray tonight, God. I want to talk to you, but I'm just too tired, and I think I'm going to skip it for tonight because it wouldn't be real anyway. So I'm just gonna go to sleep. Good night, God." What was I doing? I was doing it again. Here I am talking to the one person. I've got this relationship. I'm talking to the one person that can help me come up with an inspired topic for this sermon. And I'm not talking to him about that. I'm talking to him about I'm so dang tired because I've been flexing this theological muscle over here trying to figure out some kind of thing to talk about. I was too tired to have this relationship with God because I was so focused on doing stuff for God. So I went to sleep and I was really looking forward to going to work the next day because I work with this wonderful girl named Amy. And Amy is just one of those people where you kind of feel like she's got it all figured out. And I was talking with her and I said, "Look, Amy, I don't know what's happening right now. I'm so frustrated. I can't think of anything to say. It's like I don't have an understanding of it. It's like I can't relate with it right now." And I went on and Amy said, "Brad, wait. Do you realize that you just referred to God as it twice? I was doing it again. Here I was thinking about all this theology, all this stuff over here as an it, as a book, as a conversation, as something that I could grasp, as something tangible, when really I need to be focused on this relationship. God is not an it. God is a thing that I can have a relationship with." But I wasn't paying attention to that. Anywho. So I went home that night. And I was so, so upset. I kind of actually started feeling bad for you guys here tonight. Because there was no way I was going to be able to give an inspired sermon when all I can think about is stuff that I've read in books, when I can't connect with God. But I did kind of have to laugh because I thought, you know what, at least these poor people aren't going to listen to the worship song that I would write right now. Because if the guy who wrote Amazing Grace was in my frame of mind when he wrote it, it would have gone a little something like this. "Oh, based on what I believe to be a substantially better body of evidence, and not having sufficient evidence to the contrary, I accept the terms of everlasting life as set forth in page 243. So, it's funny, right? It's definitely funny, but the sad thing is that is really the frame of mind that I was in, and that's why it's funny, because you would never hear a worship song about creation versus evolution. You would never hear a poem about the means and method of salvation. And the reason is, poems and worship songs and sermons are all meant to inspire, and you cannot deliver an inspired song or poem or sermon when you're dealing with this stuff over here, with this theology. It can't happen, because what's going to inspire all of those things is right here, is this relationship, is this loving relationship with a real being that you can connect with. So the worst part of it, and you know, I could have come in and given a great lecture tonight on all those things, by the way. That's not the point. I don't want to get the point across that all these things aren't important. It's great to know your theology, but you can't just have the theology without this relationship. And that became really apparent to me when I was trying to, when I was going over all this theology, and all this stuff started not making sense to me that used to make a lot of sense to me. When I had this stuff made more sense. But now that I didn't, it wasn't making sense. I had all kinds of questions. And so I did what any good boy would do when faced with this kind of horrific challenge. I went and talked with Mom. And I said, Mom, it's really not making sense to me right now. I don't like some of the stuff I'm reading. I'm finding myself disagreeing with it. But yet I know Christ is there. And Mom said, Brad, sometimes what you have to do is just resolve yourself to saying, I'm reading this wrong. And God, I know that you'll help me figure it out someday, but I'm reading it wrong right now. And immediately when she said that, I thought back to two experiences I'd had with the same story from the Bible. Now, if you're not familiar with the story of Abraham and Isaac, it's a pretty tough one to hear when you're standing over here. When I heard that story for the first time, I wasn't a Christian, and all I had were these words on paper. And the story of Abraham and Isaac goes something like this. God loves Abraham very much. God gives Abraham a son. God asks Abraham to take Isaac up to the top of the mountain and kill him in sacrifice. For everyone to know, he doesn't actually have to kill his son. But anyway, that is a horrible, horrible, horrible story to hear when you're standing over here. Wait a second, you're trying to tell me that this person that loves me very, very much, that loves Abraham very much, is going to ask a father to march his son to the top of a hill and kill him in sacrifice? Well, I can't handle that. And if I wasn't a Christian before I heard that, I certainly wasn't a Christian after I heard that. But then somehow I ended over here, and I had this relationship with God. And all of a sudden, that same story becomes beautiful to me. Wait, wait, wait. You mean to tell me, God, that story is all about how I love you, and yet I ask you to sacrifice your son for me every single day? That is beautiful. That is unspeakably beautiful. And I understand that beauty because I'm standing over here with God. So I was talking with Aaron about this. And Aaron actually said it reminded him of something Rob Bell had said. Rob Bell is kind of a famous preacher. And I thought it applied so much here. What Rob Bell said is, have you ever gone to a concert with somebody who is just steeped in music theory? Well, it's not even fun, because you get to this concert and all they do is they sit there and they pick apart these little details about the music. And they fail to realize that there's this beautiful thing happening right in front of them. They'll say, oh, the cello is playing off tempo, or I'm not sure if all the violins are playing together. And they're just sitting there nitpicking it, and they're not appreciating this beautiful thing going on right in front of them. And of course, that's the exact same thing I was doing with theology. I was nitpicking these little things. And instead of appreciating this big, beautiful thing that I had over here, I was paying all my attention to all this stuff over here. Now, again, I'm not trying to say that theology is bad, because a good appreciation of music theory is really going to help you appreciate music if you use it right, if you don't abandon the beautiful part of the music for the theory part. And that's the exact same thing with theology. if you don't abandon this beautiful thing that's happening over here for theology, my gosh, it really helps you understand it better. It's like, you know, kind of doing theological push-ups to make yourself stronger so that when called upon, you're able to, I don't know, do something like give a sermon when you're called upon. But you have to have this relationship here or all this theology means absolutely nothing. And so to demonstrate my point about that theological muscle, I would like to call up here Mr. Alex Falkenberg and Mr. Aaron Holbert. Alex, would you stand right here? All right. In my hand, I hold 2 10-pound metaphors for God. On my right side stands Alex Falkenberg. Alex will be holding this 10-pound weight right here, real close to his heart. On my left side stands Aaron Holbert. Aaron will be doing an isometric exercise, and he'll be holding this weight out here. Now, this is the same amount of weight. Both of these gentlemen are holding my metaphor for God. Now, Alex is actually using the weight to his advantage. The weight itself is helping Alex hold the weight, strangely enough. Aaron, meanwhile, is trying to be tough. See, Aaron thinks he's strong and he thinks he's got it all figured out. But what this isometric exercise is doing is pitting his own strength against itself. And in my metaphor, what we've got going here is, you know, maybe right here, this is kind of the volunteering section. And here's the going to church every week section. And right here, this is like the debating atheist section. And then right here, this muscle that's really kind of starting to shake right now, the one we're not quite sure if it's going to hold up. That muscle right there is what I like to call the theology muscle for me. And what that muscle is doing right now is it's struggling against itself. It's saying, I have to hold this relationship. It is all up to me. I have to hold this relationship or it's going to drop. And I think that possibly it might just be dropping real soon here. I got to say, I'm pretty impressed. I am pretty. How you doing over here, Alex?
Fine.
You sure you're not struggling even a little bit?
No.
Not even a little bit. Oh, and there you go. Thanks, guys. Awesome. So, I gotta say, actually, I don't know if you know, I do a lot of work with the youth group in this church, and I had that written down from a long time ago. I was actually gonna save that one for someday when Aaron was gone and I was preaching to the kids. Well, that doesn't belong with the kids. That doesn't belong with the kids at all, because if there's one group of people that has absolutely no trouble figuring out what it's all about, that it's all about this relationship, it's the kids. Meanwhile, all of us adults are struggling with our own thing over here. You know, there's all kinds of different things that we struggle with that I'm going to get to in just a minute. But those things, we might as well just call those things work. See, finally, after so much struggle with this sermon, something did start making sense to me that I had never figured out about the Bible before. See, the Bible spends all this time talking about works. Can't turn a page without hearing about some kind of works that you're supposed to be doing or some kind of works that'll help you out. And then there's a couple of verses that are just like, yeah, but forget all the works because it's really about this whole faith and grace thing. And I can never quite figure that out, why God would spend so much time talking about something that we just barely have to care about until now. I'm going to go to Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast, right? That's pretty crystal clear. But the very next thing says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So what's that verse telling us? Is it telling us that works are good? Yes, Definitely. Works are great. All this theology that I'm doing over here, that is great. And I should really like to do that for God. But it's saying, yeah, but don't forget this whole thing over here. Because this is what it's all about. If works equal good, works plus faith equal better. The workmanship really means nothing. The works mean nothing without this relationship over here. So, what I want to ask everyone in this room tonight is, what do we as Christians substitute for a relationship with Christ? Now, I've talked this entire sermon about how I struggle with theology because while I'm doing it for Christ, it has totally replaced my relationship with Christ. But I think it's obvious that combining the two gives this one merit and makes this one so much more worthwhile. They really help each other. But we as Christians do other things. You know, I mentioned volunteering earlier. We as Christians, a lot of us are spending a ton of time volunteering. And I'll tell you what some of my experiences with volunteering have been. Holy cow, I can't believe that I have to drive clear from downtown to come up and volunteer 3 times a week. This, that, and the other. And I'm so frustrated. And now I got to pay attention to breaking down some room. Or I'm spending all this time volunteering. And it gets to the point where it's almost like, what am I doing it for? I've been building up all this kind of strength for God. Clear over here on this side, the work side. Meanwhile, I'm abandoning my relationship with God on this side. You know, giving is another one. We as Christians tend to spend a whole lot of time thinking about, well, how much am I giving? Am I giving enough? Am I giving too little? Whatever. And God wants us to give. You know, God wants us to volunteer. God wants us to do all of these things. But He doesn't want us to abandon His relationship to do them. In fact, His whole goal is for these things all to make us stronger in this thing. And another one that I'm really going through right now is giving a sermon. You know, if I didn't have this whole big thing right here, I'm not sure if I could have just gotten up and filled out some of these things to you tonight. So I'm really glad that I have this whole theology thing going on. But it wasn't until just a couple days ago when I figured out that this is what it's all about and this is what I need to talk about. So tonight, I want you to think about all of these things that we as Christians do to strengthen our relationship with God while actually abandoning our relationship with God. And I want to ask, what are you substituting for God? If we could pray now. Dear Heavenly Father, we appreciate the opportunity you give us to forge a closer relationship by learning about you. Giving of our time and resources, visiting you at church, and even preaching your name is all immensely satisfying. But we pray that these continue to make us stronger while engaging our relationship with you. Make us stronger in our relationship with you. And help us to remember that a loving relationship with you is what all of these works are for. Because, Lord, it all means absolutely nothing without our loving relationship with you. In your name we pray. Amen.